people what you're here for.
Bring everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
CHRY 105.5 Radio Basics. My name is Justin. I'm in the studio with...
David Chin.
It's not on. Nope. Talk louder, fool.
Mike.
Not Mike. There I am. David Chin.
All right.
In the studio. CHRY.
That's right. We are CHRY.
Radio Basics.
Yep. Community radio. Radio for the community. Hostile to private interests, of course.
Damn right.
Yep.
Pissing me off.
Yeah. Get out of here. All right. So we got a pretty serious show. We've got an exclusive interview with a guest host. Both I've yet to talk to or seen, but they should be showing up soon.
Oh, he's on his way.
Yeah, he's on his way, and I'll let him explain it when he gets here, because I even myself don't know too much about it.
If he ever gets here.
Yeah. I hope he makes it.
Not me.
Unless they get him. We also got an interview with Pat C. from the Collective Against Police Brutality in Montreal. He was one of the members that was organized the International Day Against Police Brutality that went down, where some 200 activists...
217, was it?
Yeah, were arrested on trumped-up charges that have no corroboration. Actually, they just today, 6 years ago, the charges from 2002 were dropped against every single... activists that they brought in, they hauled in using their methods. But yeah, so we're going to get to that too. That should be a good interview, and he's going to sort of link struggles out there with struggles here.
And as always, we're going to play some very good music.
Yeah, we're going to play some great music.
The best.
Actually, I found a freestyle. It's this Iraqi MC. His name's Loki.
Ooh.
Yeah, and at a Palestine solidarity event in London, he got on the mic and like, just 3 minutes of like ridiculous, and I'm telling you, it is the catchiest chorus. You'll really? Be singing it after too, and I hope the whole world.
I haven't heard it yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
I hope the whole world is singing it. So, I guess I should do some headlines.
Sure.
Let the people know what's going on.
Why the hell not?
Yeah. All right. So, we'll take the international road first. 35,000 protest in London ahead of the G20 summit. At least 35,000 protesters marched in London Saturday to kick off a series of demonstrations leading up to the G20 summit. Protester organizers said that the turnout was three times larger than expected. Chris Knight with the group G20 Meltdown said the demonstrations will focus on the bankers who wrecked the economy. Chris Knight said, "The main message to them really is you are financial fools. You're the architects of this catastrophe, with the exception of Barack Obama, of course. Who has to make a choice which side he's still on. But these fools, which make them feel that they are the people qualified to sort out this mess. And if you ask me what to do, what we want from them, I would say it's quite a lot, actually. It's, we want the earth." The protest against the G20 is expected to be the largest anti-capitalist demonstration in London in years. Also, we got... Israeli troops shoot at West Bank protesters. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli troops fired tear gas and rubber bullets on Friday at a crowd of Palestinians protesting the construction of the separation wall in the town of Belin. Reuters video showed an Israeli soldier shooting a Palestinian demonstrator with a rubber-coated bullet at point-blank range, injuring his leg. Palestinian legislator Mustafa Barghouti attended the demonstration, said that the new Israeli government will further damage the lives of the Palestinian. He's quoted as saying, "The only thing that the new Israeli government is bringing is more settlement, more land confiscation, more discrimination, more apartheid, and more building of this wall that is killing the lives of Palestinians and destroying the option of peace based on two-state solution." Eleven die in U.S. strikes in Pakistan. In Pakistan, at least 11 people have been killed in two separate U.S. drone attacks. Pakistani officials said that the dead were foreign militants. Hundreds of people have died in U.S. strikes inside Pakistan. The Wall Street Journal reports U.S. and Pakistani officials are finalizing a new list of targets along the Pakistani-Afghan border. The cooperation comes despite U.S. accusations that Pakistan's top intelligence agency is directly supporting Taliban fighters and other militants inside Afghanistan. U.S. and Israel have been accused of deadly Sudan bombings. The U.S. and Israel are being accused of killing up to 39 people in a bombing attack in Sudan this past January. According to the reports, U.S. or Israeli forces allegedly attacked a convoy
of 17 trucks
suspected of carrying weapons intended for smuggling into the Gaza Strip. The Sudanese government minister confirmed the strike, saying that the major power was carried out.
What else do we got? Let's do some local news, I guess.
Hey, give me some local stuff, some Justin,
local
please.
Local news for the local people. All right. British MP George Galloway has been denied entry into Canada by a foreign court judge. Justice Luke Martineau ruled today that the Canada Border Service Agency did not err in its decision to prevent Galloway, who the federal government accuses of being a terrorist sympathizer, from engaging in a four-city speaking tour. The decision means Galloway will not be appearing in person to give an anti-war speech this evening in Toronto. The judge cited a letter written to Galloway by Canada's High Commissioner in London that pointed to his, quote, financial support for Hamas, a listed terrorist organization in Canada. Yeah, serious. Every single day I'm more and more unproud to be Canadian, that's for sure. Where are we here? Specifically, he said, we have information that indicates you organized a convoy worth of over 1 million British pounds in aids and vehicles, and personally donated vehicles and financing to Hamas Prime Minister Hanaya. Ironically, that is, George Bush has been allowed into the country, and no Israeli officials have ever been banned in the Canadian state. Okay, so we're gonna cut the news short right now, actually, because we have our guest interviewer and our interviewee coming on to the airways right now. Do you want to say who you are and what's going on, my dear friend?
Yes, yes, of course. Greetings to everybody. This is Pablo, making a guest appearance here on Radio Basics. And we're going to be talking to right now Efren Paredes Jr., who's calling us from a correctional facility in Michigan. I'm not sure if he's on already. Is he on?
Hey, you with us?
Yeah.
Efren, how you doing, man?
Hanging in there, brother.
Good. Well, we're just getting started over here. This is Radio Basics for all y'all listening. Efren Paredes Jr. From calling us from, where are you calling us from, man?
I'm calling you from the Cod Correctional Facility in Jackson, Michigan, United States.
Yes, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Efren's case. He's got a very particular case that that we're going to be speaking about today, and also encouraging people to support Efren in trying to seek justice around his situation, which has been ongoing now for 20 years that Efren's been trying to seek some justice. So, Efren, why don't you begin by telling the audience, the people that are listening, a little bit about your case. Who was Efren Paredes?
Okay. My name is Efren Paredes. I'm, like I said, I'm from Michigan. 20 years ago, in 1989, I was arrested at age 15 for a crime I did not commit. It was a armed robbery and homicide. And other individuals, four other youth, were also implicated in the crime as well. And it was a robbery and murder of a grocery store manager. And there are no eyewitnesses to the crime. And the only evidence against me has been primarily the testimony of individuals, these youth, that in exchange for reduced sentences and leniency, they chose to testify against me or provide information to the police.
Well, since that time, I mean, your friends, your family, and now your thousands of supporters have been trying to wage a campaign to shed light around your situation and to you know, bring it forward that you are in fact innocent and have been serving jail time for a crime that you didn't commit, as you have said. Can you just inform us a little bit about who are some of the people that have supported your case, how long that's been going on as well?
Yeah, we, you know, for the last several years, we've had international attention on the case. Some of the people that have been very supportive have been some...
This call is from the Michigan Department of Correction.
Highly respected people in the Latino Chicano community. You know, people such as Dr. Elizabeth Betita Martinez. She wrote the book, 500 Years of Chicano History in Pictures. You also have Dr. Carlos Munoz. He was one of the founders of the first Chicano Latino Studies Department in the nation in the 1960s out at Berkeley. We have people all across the... We also have professors at other universities, such as Martha Grace Duncan, who's been supportive, and she's at Emory University. And there's a... We have a long list of very important people. And what we've been doing is the campaign has grown within the last few years more. So because of the assistance of primarily students that have been very helpful, along with my family, from the Lansing area, the capital area of the state, and they have been doing things such as using Facebook, MySpace. We also have a website. We have three blogs.
Can you tell the people what those websites and the blogs are, just so that they can get more information?
Sure. They can learn more about the case by going to www.4EFREN.com. That's the website. People can also go to the blog. One of them is the number 4EFREN.blogspot.com. Another one of them is free-EFREN.blogspot.com. And people can also follow us in real time on Twitter to get some of the latest updates of what's going on in the campaign. And that's twitter.com/free_EFREN.
Efren, can you tell us about any new developments in the case or and the bail review?
Yeah, what we've been doing, last year we filed a commutation request to the governor of Michigan, and that was sent to the Michigan Parole Board. And in December of 2008, we had a public hearing. And we had the largest public hearing in Michigan history. There were nearly 200 people there, and the vast majority of those people were our supporters. What we're waiting for now is a decision. It's been 116 days since that hearing, and I'm waiting for the parole board to make a recommendation to the governor regarding my release. So that's where my life is basically hanging in the balance, awaiting that recommendation at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in a minute, I'm going to ask you to let the people know where they can send letters of support, where they can, like, what the governor's address is, or email, or somewhere where they can send in their opinions. But I'll also ask, because I was reading some of the local media there, and also some of the things that have come out from the campaign around the parole hearing. And I understand that, like, I mean, right now, Radio Basics is a political kind of cultural thing. And I understand that the prosecution, that one of the things that they brought forward in order to try to smear your character was presenting some sort of evidence around some music that you were listening to at the time. I believe it was like some NWA tapes that you had in your locker or something like that. Is that the case?
Yeah, they did. You know, that what that did was it was a reflection of how weak their case really is against me. And they... When, in 1989, what they did was, because I had 11 white jurors and one African-American juror on my trial, what they tried to do was intimidate them and scare them into wanting to convict me based on using inflammatory and prejudicial things like that. Because at the time, in the late 80s, you know, rap was just becoming mainstream. And when they looked at, you know, the things like that, some of the lyrics that NWA was rapping about, they took them to be literal things. And what he tried to say was this was a window into the mind of the person who listened to them.
Unbelievable.
As to counter that, I mean, I don't even have to explain probably to most of your audience, but you know, we have people that have listened to this music, millions and millions of people all over the world, you know, listening to 50 Cent or listening to N.W.A. or Ice Cube and people like that. You know, these people have gone on to become movie stars and, you know, activists themselves and doing things positive in the community.
What do you think Bush and Cheney were listening to when they were in their teens that made them the way they are?
Hey, that's a good question, man.
Well, listen... Before again, we get into the thing of soliciting people to support your campaign and letting them know where they can send their information, where they can send their letters of support, I want to let people know about the sort of work that you do in your community. And today I got notice that you're going to be one of the speakers at a major Chicano conference, the student Chicano conference in the U.S. Is that the case, right?
Actually, I did that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you did? I just got that today.
Oh, okay. So you just got the notice. Okay, yeah. I just,
well, tell me how it went then.
Oh, it was great, man. It was really good. It was the 16th annual Mecha Conference, Mecha National Conference. It was held in at the University of Oregon,
mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, the 40th anniversary of the birth of the organization, and also of the Chicano movement, you know, which emerged in the 1960s. And what we did was, I have a workshop that I do, and it's called the Awakening the Chicano Latino Leader Within. And we had about 40 people that were there. We had a large number of high school students that attended, and I called in and I did the workshop. People really enjoyed it, and they got a lot out of it.
That's great, man. Do you want to also, because I know that's not you don't only do speaking engagements and media events, like you're actually in spite of the situation that the racist correctional system has been putting you in for more than half of your life, you still find time and means and ways of contributing to the community. Just want you to talk a little bit about some of the campaigns. I know you've been active around trying to get the ICE raids stopping, around arts and culture in the Latino community. Just want you to highlight some of those.
Sure. Yeah, what I've tried to do is, because I am behind bars, and what I try to do is reach out to my friends and family and supporters who have been wonderful about creating all these different, or utilizing all these different online platforms on my behalf. So I asked them to, you know, I'll conceptualize something and then share it with them. And then they make it happen for me. And some of the things, like you said, one of the groups is like, has over 4,000 members on Facebook now, is demand an end to the ICE raids and the assaults on immigrants is one of them. We also have things like, I also try to promote positive things such as, you know, honor Chicano, Latino, indigenous mothers. I have one that's got over 1,000 members, the End Latino Youth Violence Initiative. The Chicano Latino Action Network, that's another one as well. And it's just about, you know, trying to shape the consciousness of the people, you know, of the masses. Because I tell people all the time, I said, you know, they have to understand that the power of online organizing is what's going to propel us to the next phase of organizing right now. I use as an example last year, in February, you know, in Colombia, when people protested against the FARC, they did that. There was, you know, between 2 and 4 million people that were galvanized through online organizing. And it was primarily through Facebook that they did it. There was over 250,000 Facebook users that helped push that movement. You know, and we've also got other things over here where, you know, I like to think of the recent victory in El Salvador. You know, that's a major thing for FMLN. You know, Mauricio Funes, you know.
I'll tell you all about that, homie. I was there.
Oh, yeah. Great. That's great. Yeah, so, you know, I don't have to tell you, man, that, you know, a lot of the things that are happening out there in the world today is because the Chicano Latino community is beginning to learn how to harness the power of online organizing.
So, Efren, where can people send letters of support or whatever to get involved and show support for your just cause.
What they could do is they could go to www.4fren.com. There's a link there. There's also they can go to the blog, which was free-fren.blogspot.com. And there's a link in the upper right-hand corner that has where they can follow that. In order, it'll give them instructions on how they can do that.
Cool, and pretty soon in Radio Basics, we're going to be sending out the announcement through a sister organization of Basics, Barunovo. We're going to be setting up a workshop that FN is going to be participating in, so we'll have some of the campaign materials and whatnot over there that people can sign and participate in. Hopefully, we can actually celebrate your victory, right? Like, that's what we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. We continue to work on this every day, you know, and I know people are saying, you know, we're over here in Canada, you know, how can we help, you know, and definitely, like I said, is, you know, visiting that link, also downloading our one-page flyer, campaign flyer, and sharing that with people, as many people as they possibly can, and just, you know, directing people to the blog and the sites, you know, it's there's a lot of information there, and people can learn right on there what they can do.
All right, man. Perfect. Well, thanks a lot, Efren Paredes Jr.
You have 1 minute left.
Perfect timing. Thanks a lot for coming on the show and telling us about your case. And once again, people, check out the blogs. You had free-efren.com, was it?
It's for efren.com.
And there was the other one, right?
free-efren.blogspot.com.
You heard it there. Also, join the Facebook group, Justice for Efren. Efren Paredes Jr., thank you very much, and hopefully we'll be talking to you soon as a free man.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Indeed, so definitely we got to lend our support to the progressive struggles that happen not just here but elsewhere, like in the United States, where the same sorts of things that plague us right here in Canada are affecting people in the millions. Like, all over the world.
Like, seriously, the brother really inspires me, man, because, like, I don't know what I would do if... I just don't know where he finds the strength, as well as, like, I mean, we know so many other political prisoners that continue to find the strength despite their situation, despite the fact that significant portions of their life, in Efren's situation, since he was 15, right, now he's 35. 20 years of his 35 years have been spent in a cage, and still he finds somewhere in himself the energy to continue to struggle, the energy to continue to actually try to give and organize in society that he's not being allowed to participate in. Mm. That's inspiring, man. Mm. That should be a lesson for all of us who have freedom to look at ourselves when we wake up and be like, you know, what am I doing for the struggle?
Mm. Takes a lot of heart and discipline, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, seriously, he must like kind of get some kind of momentum from all the struggles going on. Like, even just looking at Martinique and Guadeloupe, like they shut the country down, and like 80,000 people, and you know, they gained like positive gains coming out of it. So there's got to be something just seeing all the mass work going on out there.
And you have a situation where, while in the 80s, while the government was flooding the streets with drugs and filling up the budding prison industrial complex, you had a man, or a child at that time, being prosecuted for the culture he was a part of, for music he was listening to.
Well, no, they put that there in the 80s, but they just brought this back.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a couple months ago,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
They're bringing out an NWA tape as evidence. Like, can you believe that?
They're
bringing that out as evidence to how a man murdered his employer, despite the fact that, you know, he was at home, he has alibis. Like, it's craziness. His situation is absolute craziness.
I'm just thinking of all the kids movies that Ice Cube's in nowadays, you know? And how that stands as credible evidence. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure we could all now be arrested for watching The Wire, each and every one of us in this room.
That's true.
I'm gonna stop watching it. All right.
I've already finished it.
All right, you guys got anything else? I think I might go to our track right now.
Hit us up with the track.
Do man. It.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the Palestine stuff?
Yeah, this is Loki.
Free Palestine.
He's an MC. He's an Iraqi MC. And he was at Gaza Demo in London. And yeah, so check this out. This is, it's a cappella, but man, it's some serious stuff.
Listen.
So check it out.
Randy.
Made by ignorant fools. Israel blocked the UN from delivering food. They bring in the troops, and you won't even glimpse of the news. They make money off the products that we are quick to consume. And it's not simply a question of differing views. Forget emotions, this is facts. What I spit is the truth. Makes no difference if you're a Christian or if you're a Jew. They're just people living in different conditions to you. They still die when you bomb their schools, mosques and hospitals. And it's not because of rockets. Please God, can you stop this all? I'm not related to the strangers on the TV, but I relate, cause those strangers could have been me. Words can never ever explain the raw tragedy. It's not a war, they're just murdering more rapidly. And we are automatically supporting pure savagery. Imagine how you'd feel if this was your family. This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. I wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine! This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. I wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine!
Long live Gaza!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Gaza!
Palestine remains in my heart forever. We stand for peace. In times of war, we shan't surrender. Remember, it didn't start in this dark December. Every coin is a bullet if you're Marks and Spencer. And when you're sipping Coca-Cola, and when you're sipping Coca-Cola, that's another pistol in the holster of a soulless soldier. You say you know about the Zionist lobby, but you put money in their pocket when you're buying their coffee. Talking about revolution, sitting in Starbucks. The fact is, that's the type of thinking I can't trust, let alone even start to respect. Before you talk, learn the meaning of that scarf on your neck. Forget Nestle. Obama promised Israel 30 billion over the next decade. They're trigger happy and they're crazy. Think about that when you're putting Huggies nappies on your baby. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. I wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine!
Long live Gaza!
Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. I wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine!
Long live Gaza!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Gaza!
This is not just a war over stolen land. Why do you think little boys are throwing stones at tanks? And we'll never really know how many people are dead. They drop bombs on little girls while they sleep in their bed. And don't get offended by facts, just try and listen. Nothing is more anti-Semitic than Zionism. So please, don't bring bad vibes when you speak to me. I know plenty of rabbis that agree with me. It's your choice what you do with this message. Don't get confused. I view this from a human perspective. How many more resolutions have to be violated? How many more children have to be annihilated? Israel is a terror state. The terrorists that terrorize. I testify my television, televise. I'm telling lies. This is not a war. It's systematic genocide. But wherever they try, Palestine will never die.
Radio Basics, we're back. We are, that was Low Key. It's an MC out of London. He's from Iraq, and he was rapping about Gaza, and you can check that out on YouTube. He's got a MySpace too. Right now we're gonna go to Pat C out of the Collective Against Police Brutality in Montreal. He's gonna give us a rundown of some events that the International Day Against Police Brutality. Pat, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey Pat, thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Yeah, so if you could just, give us a rundown of what happened for our listeners out there. This is an international day. It's, I think, the 8th year, if I'm...
No, that was the 13th year.
13th year, yeah, way longer than I thought. So if you want to just give us a rundown of what went down.
Well, basically, yeah, here in Montreal, and I think that is probably the same in Toronto, there is a climate of impunity about... Police brutality and police murders and so on. Here in Quebec, police is still investigating other police in cases of fatalities. So there, and the, there's been a police killing last August, in August 2008. A kid from Montreal North got shot and killed by a police officer, and he was let go. He was let go in total impunity. So there's a climate here in Montreal of mobilization against police brutality. So this year's International Day Against Police Brutality was very very important for a lot of people. So this year, I would think between 1,500 and 2,000 people showed up to the demonstration. But unfortunately, there was very many police officers also awaiting the experience. And basically, what happened is that the demonstration was blocked on all sides by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And
continue. Go on.
So we gathered at 2 o'clock on Sunday, on March 15th. It was a Sunday, a very sunny, very nice day outside. And a lot of irregularities happened. They shut down the metro for 2 hours, so hundreds of people actually had to walk to the meeting point, and when they got there, they got searched. A lot of people got frisked. Some preventive arrests before the demonstration had started. And at the time of when the demonstration actually started, they blocked us off. So we thought for sure that we had been encircled, because Montreal has a history of mass arrests. But in the end, there was one street that was open, and we ended up going south toward downtown. And then again, and then more clashes occurred, and the demonstration was broken. A demonstration of close to 2,000 people, as I said, was broken in three different groups. And from then on, a lot of clashes happened in downtown.
Mm-hmm. Are you referring to the Freddy Villanueva case specifically?
Yes, I was referring to the Freddy
Villanueva. Okay, so what do you think are the benefits then to that type of organizing? Because there was a lot of demonstrations, what the media referred to as riots, that occurred after the Freddy Villanueva case, and then you're now speaking of the clashes you have with police ever since, because we know in Toronto a lot of our anti-police brutality stuff ends up not getting too much media coverage, but it seems that because of those types of demonstrations, you guys were able to find a place within the media where at least the dialogue was opened in the mainstream press, whereas in Toronto we haven't been able to have that sort of success. So could you speak a little bit about how this type of organizing demonstrations and what they call rioting can help further our cause?
Yes, well, unfortunately, it's not that that the COBP, for instance, wishes for riots or clashes to happen, but it seems that the media pays very, very little attention to matters of police brutality or police abuse or police impunity. And when these things happen, you mentioned the riot, the so-called riot, actually, in the Montreal North that happened just after the killing of Freddy Villanueva. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when the media pays attention, and that's when also the politicians get down in the street and apologize for the vandalism and so on and so on. And so there is some kind of attention that is brought to the matters of police brutality in those instances, and it's the same for the March 15th demonstration. And it's very unfortunate, and it shows where the interests of the mainstream media lie.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, it is very necessary to organize these mobilizations on every March 15th, because it's the only time we actually have an open window to talk about these things. And a lot of people show up at these demonstrations that are actually victims of police brutality or police abuse or harassment all year long. And these people show up and they have a lot of anger, and it shows. And And also they come to a demonstration against police brutality, and there's police brutality everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vicious cycle there that is very much fed by the attitude of the police, but also by the media's obsession on so-called violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's going on, brother? Some people from Basics were actually down in Montreal for the demonstrations that happened shortly afterwards, organized after the killing of Freddy Villanueva. With the ones organized by the North Republic or North Republic North. And yeah, like, I mean, we saw that there was a pretty incredible, quite impressive community participation in those demonstrations, and obviously the community was quite upset about what had happened to one of their community members. Just wondering about the participation in the March 15th demo. Was the community out? Was the community still quite like, I mean, mobilized and upset about the situation that had been happening?
Yeah, you're talking about the Montreal North community.
Yeah, well, the particularly, I guess, yeah, like the more racialized communities that tend to tend to be, like, you know, they always bear the brunt of the police aggressions, right?
Yes, there was a very I mean, there were more than in past years, people coming from racialized communities, as you said, Montreal North, Saint Michel. There are several neighborhoods where police brutality takes the form of racial profiling. So yeah, there were more, but in terms of I couldn't say that the community comes in force. These communities come in force on the March 15th because, for some reason, it's very much associated with the punks. I guess it's a historical thing. But we are the CLVP. We are actually how can I say that? We've noticed a much more diversity in terms of the show up of the turnout at this demonstration, and it's a good sign for next year's and next March 15th demonstration.
Can you talk maybe a bit about the body that investigates police activity in Toronto? They're called the SIU, and it's mostly made up of former police officers and retired cops who have that sort of outlook, that police outlook on things. Can you talk about that sort of body in Montreal?
There is no such no such thing here in Montreal. In fact, when a police killing happens, it will be another police force that, for instance, here, if it's a Montreal police officer that kills someone, it's going to be the SQ, the provincial police, or in some cases, it's going to be the Quebec Municipal Police, who's going to investigate into these matters. So, yeah, it's something that we are fighting against. It's completely ridiculous because since 1987, there has been 43 killings in Montreal. And in every case, the cops have been cleared of any wrongdoing. In the worst cases, they've had a couple of weeks of suspension, but they've all been reintegrated into the force. So that is actually one of the focus of the mobilizing here in Montreal and in Quebec.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're closing to the end of this part of the radio show, but is there anything else you would like to say? Is there any way we can get into contact or show support, letters,
website,
email address, websites, whatever?
Well, the email for people, maybe people from Toronto were down in Montreal, and if people were victims or witnesses of police brutality at this demonstration, they could write to the COBP. We're trying to do a very close support for the arrested, and the email is cobp@hotmail.com. The simplest one possible. So, yeah, if people want to get in touch for any reason, that's the place to go.
Great, awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Thanks, thanks for coming on. The website is cobp-mtl.ath.cx-en for the English web browser. So, Pat, thanks again for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, Pat, we'll follow up.
All right.
Okay, yeah, well, that looks like a positive development out there. I mean, that there's serious organizing, and he really brings to light the brutal nature of the Montreal police force and police in general. 43 killings and...
Since 87.
87, yeah.
I don't think that Toronto's been much better, to be honest with you.
Agreed.
Yeah, so... okay, we got to go to a commercial, and we'll come back with more Radio Basics.
Maybe.
All right, Radio Basics, we are back again. So for all the listeners, that was Pat C. out of Montreal. He represents a collective against police brutality, and they do some serious work around organizing against, more recently, Freddy Villanueva, who was killed. I think he was playing dice with his friends or something, or doing something. 18-year-old kid, no weapon. He was killed. And no measures, no justice brought to his case, you know. And in Toronto, we do organization against, Justice for Alwi, mm-hmm. who too, young kid, killed by police, with impunity, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but right now we're gonna talk a bit about May Day.
May Day.
We got the real Labor Day coming up.
That's right. That's right. What are we at? We're at March 30th, which means that there's about 1 month to organize for May Day. For those of you who were either born or raised here in the frigid north, you might be scratching your head.
Yeah, what is May Day?
What is May Day? For those of you from the third world, though, like your boy here, May Day is the day when there's crazy amounts of people on the streets that are mobilized and demanding their rights. Demanding the things that are owed to them as workers. So a number of different communities have community organizations, mass movements have come together to try to reignite the spirit of May Day, the organizing around it, and also to move forward, right? To bring things under to bring the different sectors of working communities over here together to celebrate our victories, at the same time to coordinate our struggles, right?
Yeah, and even North America still has a rich history of labor movements. I mean, the Haymarket riots in Chicago.
No doubt, but like you know, the May Day was actually started because of something that happened. Exactly what you're talking about,
yeah.
Right? The stuff in Chicago.
Yeah.
But then the U.S. president of the day, whose name escapes me right now, specifically ordered they created Labor Day.
Yeah.
Along with the American Federation of Labor. In order to specifically isolate the American working people from the rest of the world. And Canada at that time jumped on board, right?
Of course.
It's a deliberate thing to try to make workers in North America separated in every way possible from the rest of the world so that they don't see themselves as part of an international class, right? They don't see themselves as connected to an international movement. And you know what? It's been effective. You gotta give it up to the ruling class on that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
They really caught on to that one well.
Yeah, because football starts right after Labor Day, right? So most people get geared up for that, especially the Americans.
That's true, eh? I never saw that connection.
The whole moving May Day to September, it kind of reminds me of like when a business or a corporation will make a union with managers. So it's like a union created by the corporation themselves and not a workers thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or a tenants organization that's created by the landlord.
TCHC.
Slumlord.
Not saying nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And this year is probably most important, one of the years where we need the most organization out of anything, with all the wealth being siphoned up to banks and consolidated monopolies, concessions. All the businesses demanding concessions from their workers, mass layoffs worldwide. And even I referred to earlier Guadeloupe and Martinique. Like, people should really take their bearings from the struggles out there, I think.
Well, yeah, from lots of places in the third world, and even in Europe, right? Like, I mean, there's there's even a bit of an increasing labor militancy in Europe, and you know what? Even in the U.S., like when we're talking to Ephraim earlier on, he's talking about the some of the campaigns that he's been supporting and through Facebook and not against the immigration raids in the U.S.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And those, like the attacks on immigrant workers in the United States, sparked off massive demonstrations precisely around May 1st, right? So over here, some of that was brought in as well, and respect to No One Is Illegal, for those of you who, who know No One Is Illegal, Google them there. The Mayday stuff over here happening, and we should announce it, May 1st is going to be a cultural sort of celebration festival at the Steelworkers Hall, 25 Cecil, May 1st, 6 p.m. The next day, at the corner of Sherburn and Carlton, at 1 p.m., is going to be the demonstration. And so there's enough organizations participating in this. Basics Community Newsletters participating. Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid, Tamil Youth Organization, Canadian Humanitarian Appeal for the Rights of Tamils, Casa Salvador Allende, the Chilean Community Association, Barrio Nuevo.
Justice for Awi is going to be out there.
Justice for Awi. There's enough organizations coming aboard. Bayan, Migrante, the FMLN in Toronto. The list goes on and on and on. And hopefully there'll be more. Everyone should be checking out for that. Visit No One Is Illegal's webpage, because I think they're kind of be the central for all the information coming around that.
Yeah, and I mean, we got the new issue of Basics coming out that should be at your door. Hopefully 2 weeks, 3 weeks tops, and that's going to be sort of a preview and a rallying cry for everyone to get out to May Day.
Yo, and if it's not at the door, they can get it at their door, right?
They can get it at the door. You can subscribe. You know, it's a free community newsletter, but we appreciate donations. We're also on the internet, basicsnewsletter.blogspot.com. For all those on the web right now, get on there. We're trying to stretch it out across Toronto, Regent Park, Pelham, PO, Lawrence Heights, Esplanade. Like we're moving and we're getting people and stuff. So check that out and can form something,
right? Some kind of something.
Yeah. Seriously. So.
So what are you gonna play for us, DJ?
On the outro tip, yo.
Yeah. Well, I got another track about Palestine, and this is gonna be played because I know just today the Israeli military decided that there were no crimes committed in the occupation of Gaza.
Really?
Today. Yeah, they came down with the ruling. They said there was no crime, so
it's funny how you see those parallels, eh? Like, you know, when the cops shoot someone over here, they investigate themselves and decide nothing happened. Same kind of thing seems to be happening over in Palestine, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a complete perversion of justice, complete perversion. I mean, you have the ICC, International Criminal Court, that will, you know, point the finger at al-Bashir, play off the whole terrorist tip, the whole demonization of Arabs, and he is the sole, apparently, the sole bad guy.
He's the puppet master.
Yeah, in the whole Darfur conflict. Meanwhile, you have George Bush, who the documents are been released by his own organization saying that he's guilty of torture. You have Obama, too, guilty of a crime for not prosecuting George Bush under the the genocide conventions, right? Because it's illegal to harbor anyone that is guilty of such a crime in your country. And the list goes on.
Would be guilty of that, too. We just had that sucker here a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah. And meanwhile, George Galloway can't come in, British MP who gave aid to Gaza. But meanwhile, Netanyahu, nothing against him, nothing against Bush.
Respect to Galloway.
Oh, yeah.
Give it up to that dude. You know, it's refreshing to see a politician that isn't interested in self-preservation first, right?
It's true.
That is out there. Like, I mean, they say the I think what was the term that the mouthpiece for Jason Kenney called him? He called him a street corner Cromwell or something like that. Anyway, all verbosity aside, like, I mean, the man is puts himself out there in a principled way, regardless of what anyone says about it, right?
Yep.
And you really got to respect that, especially, you know, how we see politicians function here in Canada.
And he's willing to touch on issues that most politicians wouldn't go anywhere near. Indeed. Cuba, Palestine, wars. It's he's a great speaker. I've been to a couple of his talks. He's a funny man.
Yeah, like, I went to one on Bloor Street, and he was hilarious.
I was there with you, I think, actually.
I sat beside you, yeah, and he was great.
Weird.
Yeah. And informative, and you know, he really mobilizes people and puts it into a really good perspective, and props to Galloway. And so, but
yay, Galloway.
He won't be here live, but they're gonna do a video feed, and they're gonna use the internet to the best of their abilities, and have him deliver the speech to a crowd in some capacity.
Good.
Yeah, that is good. So, on that note, this is called Janine Palestine Rap. Again, I found it on YouTube. It's a sick song.
You spend way too much time on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, man, it's a great thing. So, yeah, get out there.
Are they paying you for those plugs?
Yes, they are. Okay, here we go, Janine.
Some of the money, the basics, then.
Palestine.
Peace.
It's just a word, isn't it? It's just a name. What's in a name? There's a lot in a name. I'll give you one name that means so much to me. Janine. Janine? Janine is just a place in Palestine. I tell you, no. Janine is a place that makes me want to be a better believer. Every day a better believer.
Your remarkable landscapes are fading away. Now a barren wasteland is overseen today. They cover your soil with the blood of numerous martyrs who give their life to the struggle when times are hardest. Oh sweet Janine, tell me, will you ever be free? No more occupied, oppressed like they want you to be. You deserve much more than cries from a child. Seen his whole family murdered, bodies all piled. And when a Zionist decided to kick up a fuss, he grabbed the bulldozer and turned my house into rubble and dust. Oh sweet Janine, tell me please, what will it take to stop the genocide continuing inside of this place? To put an end to all the madness. Last week we were forced to strip naked. My mother refused, cause she said that our body was sacred. So they burned down our school, and I wonder who's responsible for making those rules. Why are they here? From who are they sent? They drove us out from our home, now we live in a refugee tent. Mommy cries herself to sleep and daddy's scared. Does the world know what's happening? Does anyone care? It doesn't seem fair, my little brother's only 5 but already in a wheelchair. Cause he got shot while praying in the mosque. Now his happiness is gone and hope almost lost. Look deep in my eyes and tell me, what do you see? Do you see a terrorist or a child that wants to be free? Or a child that wants to be free? Free. Or a child that wants to be free? Free. Or a child that wants to be free? Free. I just wanna be free. Check it, yo, yo, yo. For how long more we will be degraded by these vultures? Have our sisters dishonored while they treat us like filthy cockroaches? I swear I'll die trying, cause in the depths of my heart lies the soul of a soldier who rather die serving his maker than live by the laws of this Zionist culture. I've been stripped for my rights, now enslaved in my own birthplace. Just take a look at my people, can't you tell by the pain on their face? Can't you see by the way that they live? When the children are crying, they're hungry, and there's nothing to give. And if we speak against oppression, they're quick to pull holes in our joints. Force our women to give birth in the streets, next to the daily checkpoints. So the next morning after Fajr, with a broken metal piece, I dug a hole as deep as I could. Kissed my mother's forehead and hugged her for a little longer, cause I knew that I should. She asked me if I'd make her proud, then I told her I would. Then without looking back, I walked to the outskirts of a refugee camp. There I stood like a lion, my heart never sank. Staring at the next tank, I said, look deep in my eyes and tell me, what do you see? Do you see a terrorist or a child that wants to be free? Free. Or a child that wants to be free? Free. Or a child that wants to be free? Free. Or a child that wants to be free?
And Israeli generals, they will tell you, it's the city of cockroaches. We will tell you, it's the city of angels. Our beloved prophet, he said in dua, O Allah, let us live like princes and die like martyrs. And we said, Ameen, for Janine, inshallah, inshallah.